Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nedarim is Lamed Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lan Zech and Nishmat Liba, Gabriela Bashmuel. We did the mission yesterday. We're going to start today with the Gemara, just to get us into the right frame of mind. Last couple of days, we've been going over the concept of that by Nedarim, we follow Lashem B'nei Adam. A person makes a neder. His declaration is understood in the way that people normally speak. And the Mishnayos have been giving us example after example of this principle, going back to Daf Lamed Aleph and continuing to basically today's Daf. One of the things that the Gemara went over in terms of an example is that a person says that I'm going to make a neder against Mulin, against people who have a Mila. So he means Jewish people, even if that particular person doesn't have a Mila. But in other words, the term Mulim is a reference to Jewish people. When he says Arelim, Arelim are a reference to non-Jewish people, even if that particular non-Jew got a Mila. Very popular in America to get a circumcision. Nevertheless, the word Arel, by its general definition, is that it refers to non-Jewish people. It afforded the Mishnah the opportunity to talk about the importance of Mila. You don't find this that often, that a Mishnah goes into an agadic mode and starts speaking about the significance of the mitzvah of Mila, but the Mishnah does that. And then it basically segues into today's daf. Today's daf is going to be an entire daf, Agadita, dealing with the significance and the importance of the Bris Mila. If you remember yesterday, the Mishnah gave a number of reasons why it is that the mitzvah of Mila is so significant and so fundamental to Yiddishkeit. Mishnah talked about Yud Gimel Brisos, that there are 13 covenants that were made over the mitzvah of Mila. Mishnah went over the fact that it's Doches the Shabbos, it overrides the Shabbos. Mishnah went over the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu had a we're going to start today in the Gemara. He had a very tough time going back to Mitzrayim because he didn't do the mitzvah of Mila. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him to task for it, which is what we're going to be discussing at the beginning of today. Yesterday we went over the idea that the mitzvah of Mila can override a negative prohibition. The Torah says, "He shamer b'neged saras," and meanwhile, if a person has a nega on the makom Mila, so you cut it off, even though the Torah says normally don't do that. And finally, the Mishnah went over the idea that Avraham Avinu becomes complete when he gets a bris Mila. And now finally the Mishnah says that without the mitzvah of Mila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have created the world. So a number of points that the Mishnah makes in terms of the significance of Mila. The Gemara we start with on the bottom of the Amud, on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Tanya, the Gemara teaches us a Braisa. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Amar Gedola Mila Shekol Zechuy Shasa Moshe Rabbeinu. Although Moshe Rabbeinu at that point accumulated a number of Zechuyos, Lo Amdu Lo Kishin Israshal Min Amila. However, when he was lax in the mitzvah of Mila, so all those Zechuyos did not help him. Moshe Rabbeinu, after spending years in Midian, according to the Midrashim, he was 40 years in Midian, so he's now going back to Mitzrayim, and he's going to redeem the Jewish people out of Egypt. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do it, but Moshe is going to be
What was the mitzvah before Matan Torah?
There was not a mitzvah, but it was a bris, meaning Avraham Avinu was given the bris, meaning literally and physically and figuratively. In other words, it was a covenant. So that means then that Avraham passed it down to Yitzchak, who then passed it down to Yaakov, and they all had a bris mila. Not so much because it's a mitzvah, but simply because that was a bris that was made between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Did he make an agreement with his father-in-law that he wouldn't bris the children, that they were his? Once he was leaving the land?
I don't know. I mean, that could be based on Midrashim. And I'm just not familiar.
I mean, it's ironic because 40 years in the desert, they didn't have a Brit Mila because of the...
Okay, well, hold on to that thought. I'll come back to that. So, Amdolo Kishin, it's Rashi and Amila. And then what happened was, is that Moshe was lax in the mitzvah of Mila. So, in other words, now he's going to Mitzrayim, and he's got his son in tow, and his son needs a mitzvah of Mila, and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do it. And Shenema, So, and the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to kill Moshe over this. So even though he had Zechuyos upon Zechuyos, and even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu tapped him to become the leader and the one who was going to take him out of Egypt, nevertheless, he didn't do the mitzvah Mila, and that was it. So I'm a Rebbe. Now, according to the Bach, the Gear says, I'm a Rebbe Yossi. Chas v'sham, shem Moshe Rabbeinu, nesrashim an Mila. Don't say that. Don't say that Moshe Rabbeinu was lax in terms of the mitzvah Mila. It's totally inconceivable. Ela kach amar, emul ve'etzei sakanehi. Moshe Rabbeinu actually took stock of what the situation was, and Moshe Rabbeinu decided that it's not right to do a Mila. Meaning, for the following argument, If I do a mila right now, so then we can't travel. Because we know that doing a mila and traveling after doing a mila, that's a danger. We know that giving a mila is dangerous, certainly for the first 3 days after the mila. By the way, just as a point of interest, the Ron over here writes that if you would have asked me before today's daf, I would have said that the third day is the most painful day. The Ron says that's not really correct. I mean, Ron's opinion. The Ron says that's not really correct. The Ron says that the first day is painful, the second day is painful, the third day is just simply an accumulation of now 3 days of pain. If you want to see the Ron inside, it's down the bottom of the Amud. It's the last Ron on the Amud. He writes, "Kidei shiyu chalushim." I'm sorry, let's start from the beginning of the run. Don't tell me that the third day is any more painful than the first day. So why did Shimon Levi wait 3 days? Why didn't they just go attack the city on the first day? So, but in other words, 3 days of now accumulated pain, so they just waited. But in other words, it's not like I normally would have thought that the third day is the most painful. The Ron says that's not true. It's day one, day two, day three, they're all painful. In fact, it sounds like from the Ron, day one is more painful. But day three is just simply an accumulation. Anyway, so you know that after a bris milah, so you can't travel. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, so I can't give my son a bris milah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Li, Leich Shav Mitzrayim. I have instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we would normally call a mitzvah. I have instruction from Hashem that I have to go down to Mitzrayim.
Why is it
So Ella Mibne Mana Nash Moshe. So the Gemara now asks the question. Good. So now that we're here, so let's now ask the question. So why was Moshe punished? Mimnation is asked by Malon Tchila. In other words, if he would have just gone straight and made a beeline for Egypt, so then Rabbi Yossi says Moshe would have been fine. Problem is that he stopped on the way. Once he stopped on the way, that he showed that he was open to the idea of pausing. So once he was open to the idea of pausing, so then he should have done the mitzvah of Mila. The Ron over here asked a simple question. Even if he stopped at the hotel, first of all, I mean, the Ron doesn't say this, but first of all, it's okay to stop. In other words, it's a long trek from Midian to Egypt. But the Ron says, even if he stopped at the hotel, that would mean that the next morning he'd have to go travel again. So the Ron says, so how did this really answer our question? The question of the Gemara was, why was Moshe punished? The answer of the Gemara is because he stopped in the hotel. But that's not really an answer, because the next morning he's got to go up and he's got to go again. So the Ron writes, the first Ron on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, V'chi Tema, it's the end of the second line of the Ron. V'chi Tema, Hech Yamal Kevin Shayyalo Adayin Latseis Baderech. So what, he wouldn't have given a mila. He still has to go out and travel. Yeish Lamer Da'osam Alon Samach Lemitzrayim Haya. So the Ron suggests that the hotel in question was right outside of Egypt, over Or. Purta Lake Sakanta, and then with that little left journey that's left, there's not much danger there. So that's the Ron's suggestion in terms of why it is that stopping the hotel in that scenario was a bad thing. The Gemara continues. Mimnation is Asik b'Malon Tchila Shenemar Vayhi B'Derech B'Malon. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Lola Moshe Rabbeinu B'Keshat LaHarog Ela LaOso Tinok. And finally, the Brisa brings down a third opinion, and that's Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. That really, the anger was not directed towards Moshe Rabbeinu, it was toward the child. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ki chasan damim atali. Tzipora says that you are chasan damim. And the Gemara is about to assume that that's talking about the child, the baby. Say ure'e, mi kari chasan, havi omer zetino. And that's the reference to the baby. The baby is the reference to the chasan. Why is the baby a reference to the chassan? What's the usual when you think of a chassan, you don't think of a baby. You're right, you think of a young man, but you don't normally think of a baby. So the Ron writes over here that the word chassan means that what's the nature of a chassan? Nature of a chassan is now he's linked, he's connected. In other words, a chassan now is going to link with a kala. So in this respect, the baby's going to link. Who's the baby going to link with? Kadosh Baruch Hu. That mitzvah of Mila is going to link the baby to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when the pasuk says the word chasan, it's a reference to a baby. There is a basic debate. The Gemara in Kedushin talks about the mitzvah of Mila, how it's the father's responsibility / obligation to give his son a Mila. There's a discussion amongst the Rishonim who primarily is mitzvah. Who's the one commanded over the mitzvah? Is it fundamentally the father's responsibility, or is it really the baby's responsibility? But as a baby, obviously, you can't hold him. You can't hold him accountable. He's only 8 days old. So the father's doing it as a shliach, as a representative of the child. But really, fundamentally, it's the child's responsibility. The Gemara doesn't discuss this question. The Rishonim over there discuss that question, and it actually resolves a number of issues. But it sounds like from our Gemara, hard to understand, but it sounds like from our Gemara, it's fundamentally the baby's responsibility, at least according to Rosh Shimon Gamliel. Because he says, who was the Kadosh Baruch Hu angry with? The baby. So,
up until the age of 13, it's the father's responsibility.
Right, that's...
So what does it have to do with that there was no negligence on the baby's part?
Correct. I'm not... In other words, normally, nobody would ever get punished for not having a mila before they're 13 years of age. Right. All I'm suggesting is it's a little bit difficult to understand according to Rosh Shimon Gamliel why is the anger directed towards the baby. All I'm doing is just making a suggestion. This may tie into the issue of who's fundamentally obligated. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Bar Bizna Bishashin Esrash Moshe Rabbeinu Menamila Bau Af Vechema Uvaluhu. So the Gemara over here brings down in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Bizna, that there were two destructive angels, the angels of Af and Chema. And as Moshe now was lax in the midst of Mila, so they swallowed Moshe. Veloshai Rimemenu Ala Raglav, and the only thing that was exposed were the legs of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara over here says legs, but probably the Gemara over here speaking Beloshan Saginaur. Probably it was his Aver. And the idea behind the Gemara is that basically they were demonstrating this is the reason why we're so angry with Moshe Rabbeinu. Miyad v'tikach tziporat sor v'tichros asar las bena. Tzipor took a stone, she took a sharp stone, and she gave the baby a Mila. Miyad v'yaref mimenu. And at that moment, they let go of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning Tzipor saved the day. Moshe Rabbeinu lahargan. Now Moshe Rabbeinu had the angels, and they were there, and he wanted to kill them. Shenema haref me'af v'azov chema. The Gemara understands the pasuk in Tehillim as a way of communicating this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to kill them. V'yeshomim l'chema hargu. And some are of the opinion that in fact he not only wanted, but he successfully killed chema. Shenemar chema ein li. So, okay. So a question of what Moshe did with these malachim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but even Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life says that he was afraid of Af and Chema, these two destructive angels. So the Gemara says that, well, maybe you could suggest that even if you held the position that he killed Chema, but that wasn't the only Chema out there, maybe there were other Chemas that were out there. And Ibai Sam of the Gemara gives us a somewhat similar answer, Gunda de Chema. There was like a whole army of Chema. Chema is not a reference to one angel, but rather an army of destructive angels. And even if you maintain that Moshe killed one, that means one of this army. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Rabbi Omer Gedola Mila Shein Lecha Mishin Esasik B'Mitzvos Kavram Avinu. No one did mitzvos like Avram Avinu. V'lo Nikra Tamim Ela Ashem Mila. But yet, he was only called complete once he did the mitzvah of Mila. Shein Emre Salech Lafanai V'heyei Tamim. V'ksiv V'na Brisi B'ni V'nech. If you look at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, so you see over there that Kadosh Baruch Hu says you're gonna be complete in front of me, and juxtaposed to that is the idea that and we're gonna have a bris and we're gonna have a covenant and it's gonna be ratified through this bris mila. Another thing this brisa teaches us is that mila is commensurate to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. And similar to what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, without the mitzvah of Mila, so the heaven and the earth would not have been created. Okay, so once again, ideas that speak to the significance of the mitzvah of Mila, the completeness of Avraham, the fact that it's equivalent to all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and the idea that Shemayim Va'aretz would not have been created had it not been for the mitzvah of Mila. Upligid the Rabbi Lazar Damer of Lazar Gedola Torah. And hashkafically, from an agadic standpoint, so not everyone's in agreement to what is holding up heaven and earth. According to Rabbi Lazar, it is Torah that's holding up heaven and earth. Without Torah, there wouldn't be Shamayim Va'aretz. Without my bris, his understanding of the word bris in this context is not a reference to It's not a reference to the Bris Mila, but it's a reference to actual Torah. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Vishah Shem Elokesh Baruch Hu L'Avraham Avinu Salech Lefanai V'Hayei Tamim. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham the following instruction. You're going to walk in front of me and you'll be complete. Achzasu Ra'ada. And now Avram says, what do you mean? I haven't been complete until now? Meaning Avram Avinu spent a long time trying to perfect himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, now if you do the following, you're going to be perfected. Avram's thinking to himself, what do you mean? Not to say that anyone's perfect, but Avram was, as the Gemara over here is describing, as successful to perfecting himself as anyone. And he didn't understand. What does that mean? Amar Shem Yesh Bi Davar Maguna. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees something disgusting in me, and that's why he's calling me out and telling me to become complete. But then, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to him? We're going to have a covenant. And I'm going to introduce you to the idea of Bris Mila, Niskarara Dato. Avram Avinu at that point in time cooled down. He realized, it's not something about my behavior. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is introducing something new to me, i.e. the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Okay, good. I get it. And it calmed him down. This is by the Bris Ben Avisarim, the covenant that was made between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram Avinu. And he says, I need you to go outside. This is famous Gemara. Rashi brings this down on Chumash. And we have in our Gemara, Ein li ela ben echad, or according to the other Girsa, Ein arai laholid ben. Either Girsa, the idea is that Avram Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, I know my astrology. Right, not astronomy. I know my astrology, and my astrology tells me that that I'm not going to have a child, or all I'm going to have is Yishmael, but I'm not going to have another child. Amalot say mi sagnina shocha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, good, that's what your astrology tells you. And like we've said time and again, the Gemara never dismisses astrology, just simply says that, not applicable. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, good. For everyone else in the world, there's something called astrology, and it influences their lives. But for you, you're going to, it's not applicable to you. Ein mazal li Yisrael. We have a general rule that there's no mazal for Yisrael. Meaning, there's such a thing called mazal, but not for Yisrael. And then it only begs the question, every time we see, at a simcha, we say, Simen Tov HaMazel Tov. Right, so, and our Gemara says, there's no mazel, so obviously, the truth lies somewhere in between. So, I'm Rav Yitzchak Kalam, Metamim Atzmo, Kosh Baruch Metamim Mimo. Now, if you're Metamim Atzmo, right, the Gemara over here is making reference to the idea that when you are Tamim, literally means complete, but it also means that you're not interested in any of the influences. Right, the palm readings, the crystal ball, right, the beads, and then the whole slew of things which I don't even know about. So in other words, but you're not interested. In fact, not only you're not interested, it's an issur in the Torah. The Torah says, Lo sanacheish, you're not allowed to do any type of divination. You're not allowed to make any decisions in life based on, quote unquote, something which is fate, based on the roll of a dice or the flip of a coin. And you have to be totally reliant on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to determine what happens to you. And in the by the psukim of nichush and divination, so the Torah says, Tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. So you be complete. Complete means that you simply don't rely on any other influence other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara over here in this context says, call him a Tamim Atzmo, anyone who completes himself, meaning is not reliant on any of the other influences, like mazel or like any of the things we just described. Mitami Mimo, Kadosh Baruch Hu behaves in this similar way with him. Shenemrim chasitis chasanim gavar tamim titamam. If you behave in a way that's tamim, Kadosh Baruch Hu is titamam, he behaves accordingly. So, and that means that if you don't believe in the influences will simply have no control over you. I'm Rabbi Yoshua Klamatam Imatz Moshal Medeslo. Anyone who behaves in such a way, which again, not reliant on any other influences, but rather only on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so you're going to be successful. Shenem Yisalech Lafanai Ve'yei Tamim. Uksiv Ha'isalav Hamon Gayim. Pasuk says by Avram Avinu that look, if you behave tamim with me, tamim meaning not reliant on any other sources, you're going to be the father of many nations. Kol Menachesh Lo Nachash. If you're Menachesh, if you practice in these types of divinations, so you know what? You're going to be subject to these types of divinations. Meaning they are going to have an influence on you. Shenemer Ki Lo Nachash B'Yaakov. Now, the way the Gemara understands the pasuk ki lo nachash, now it's spelled lamed aleph, but the point the Gemara is trying to get out of the pasuk is ki lo nachash, you will be the owner of nachash, meaning that you will be controlled by the influences if you are a believer in the influences. Bahaba lamed aleph ksiv. Now, the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you what, it's a nice drasha, but it doesn't fit in with the wording of the pasuk. The pasuk actually is written lamed aleph. Elam shemida keneged mida. The Gemara says you're right. We're not. The idea is correct. We're not going to learn that from the pasuk because the pasuk is written lamed aleph. But it's intuitive. It's based on the principle mida keneged mida, measure for measure. Meaning, if you are reliant on the influences are going to have an effect on your life. If you're not reliant on the influences, so then they're not going to have any effect on your life. Any person who does not practice in any of this type of behavior, you will be placed, be protected by wall, where even the malachim cannot penetrate. Okay, you'll be protected. Right, we're going to see this in a week from now. Right, the Parshas Balak, that there is no Nachash B'Yaakov. We don't practice any type of divination. We are not influenced by anything. I'm Rabbi Abba, and of course, by the way, Bilam realizes that when he tries to curse the Jewish people, and Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow him to do that because, again, we are the Jewish people, are not influenced by other influences. We're only the only thing that influences us is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Mipnei Manena Shavram Avinu, V'nishtabdu Banav L'Mitzrayim Asayim V'Esar Shanim. Very difficult Gemara coming up. Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Abahu, who gets this from Rabbi Lazar. The Avram Avinu was punished, and as a result of that, his sons were going to serve 210 years of servitude. And why should that be? Meaning the Gemara is now going to find fault with Avram Avinu, and as a result of that, his children are going to be punished. It's a very difficult Gemara to understand. I mean, we're going to go through it, and we're going to try our best to understand it. But generally speaking, we don't punish children on the count of the sins of the father, although that's not always true. We find by Mamzer as a classic example where a child is punished as a result of the behavior of the parents. But generally speaking, that's not. And hard to imagine that we're talking about 210 years of servitude all because of, you know, one behavior of Avram Avinu. Okay. Certainly speaks to the general idea, the Ramban. One of the biggest themes that he has in Parsha, in Sefer Bereishis, is the idea of Maisa Avosim Labanim. That what the Avos do, what the forefathers do for us, is they set up a blueprint, and then the future generations are basically just following that blueprint. That's the principle of Maisa Avosim Labanim. That is one of the big ideas of the Ramban and Chumash. Certainly this speaks to this idea. So what did Avram Avinu do that was so wrong? So the Gemara is going to have a couple of suggestions. So number one, we know that in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, so Avram Avinu went to war. And he conscripted. And who did he conscript to go to war? So Tamid Chachamim. Meaning, basically, he started a big Kirov movement. And in the big Kirov movement, so there was a war. And then he took all the people that were learning in quote-unquote his yeshiva. However, you know, whatever they were learning in the yeshiva back then, and he took them and he put them out to war, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset with that. So Mimnesha Asa Angaria B'Tamid HaChamim Shenema V'Yarekes Chanichavi Lidei Beiso. What did Avram do? He conscripted the people that were in his house. So that is one suggestion of the Gemara, of that which Avram did that was so wrong and caused the later descendants to be servitude for 210 years. By the way, you notice that the Gemara chose the number 210, even though the Pesukim themselves say 400, 430, but the Gemara over here talks about the actual years of servitude. Shmuel Amar Mimeshi, Hifriz Amido Sav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Avram Avinu challenged the Midas of Hashem. Shenemer Bame Eda Ki Irashena. The Pasuk says that by Brisbane and Basarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to make you a great nation, and you're going to be unbelievable, and I'm going to give you a land, and you're going to inherit the land. And Avram Avinu questions HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, so the descendants that were enslaved for 210 years. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Shehifresh Bnei Adam Elikanas Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. Another thing suggests the Gemara, why it is that his children got punished so much, is because he missed a Kirov opportunity. That's rather unbelievable that Avraham Avinu, who lived a life of trying to bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he missed a cure of opportunity, but the Gemara says he did. Where do we find this? Shenemer Tein Li HaNefesh Baruch Hu Shekach Lach. So in the post-war treaties that were made between Avraham and Melech Sodom, so one of the suggestions that was made is, look, you get to keep all the spoils of war, but I'll keep the people. And Avraham Avinu said, you know what, I'm not interested in the spoils of war, but he did pay off his soldiers, but he wasn't interested in that. But Avraham Avinu did not take the people. In other words, in this treaty that was done after the war. Vayarek es chanichav, tachas shenem artein le'nefesh v'rachush kachlach. Okay, period. Okay. So three suggestions in the Gemara in terms of what exactly Avraham Avinu did wrong that caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be so angry and impend future servitude for the children. The Gemara made three suggestions in terms of what Avraham Avinu did. Vayarek es chanichav yelide beiso. We quoted that one of the things that Avraham did is that he conscripted. And Rav Amar Sharikim B'Torah. So the Gemara over here makes a couple of comments in terms of this conscription. Number one, the Gemara quotes the name of Rav, that he was Horikan B'Torah. Now, the Ran over here has two explanations of what the Gemara means. Explanation number one, says the Ran, is that he was Mizaris B'Torah. He basically, he got them fired up, he pumped them up, and he told them that we're doing this for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're doing this for Torah. Okay, that's one explanation. But then the Ran says, I'll give you a second explanation, and here it fits into what the Gemara just said a moment earlier. The word lahorik sometimes also means to empty them out. In other words, he's been teaching them Torah, teaching them Torah, teaching them Torah, and then what did he do? He sent them to war. And the Ran says, as a result of that, all the Torah that he stuffed into them, so he emptied it out as a result of the fact that he sent them out to war. Shmuel Amar Shehorik and Bazahav. Shmuel has a different understanding. Basically, what did he do? He waved some gold in front of them. In other words, like mercenaries, he paid them in order to go to battle. That's how he enticed them. The Torah describes Shmona Asar Shlosh Meos. There were 318 soldiers that went to battle. Amar Rabbi Ami Baraba Leezer Keneged Kulam. The Gemara has two versions of the following comment. One, the first version is that Eliezer is just as good as an army of 318, meaning that Avraham Avinu collected an army of 318, but Eliezer is just as good. Now, if you take the gematria of Eliezer, so you're going to come out with 318, teaching us that Eliezer was just as strong as all of them. Igad Amri Eliezer hu dechush b'nei hachehave. Now, according to the second version, which I think is the more popular version, because Rashi brings it down in Chumash, is that he had an army of actually one. In other words, Avraham, when he went to battle, so it was Avraham and Eliezer. It just happens to be that Eliezer was equivalent to having an army of 318. Which, by the way, in of itself is also not a huge army. But it was Avraham and Eliezer who went out to war. Amr Abi Ami Baraba ben Gimashani Mikar Avraham is Baro. And then the Gemara over here says that at what age was Avraham when he recognized the Kadosh Baruch Hu? So he was 3 years old. Avra Shenemad Ekev Asher Shema Avraham Bikoli. And the Torah says that Ekev, on account of the fact that Avraham listened to my voice, Chushmana Mea Vishiv and Mitrain, take the word Ekev, take the Gematria of the word Ekev, it's 172. Avraham Avinu listened to me for 172 years. He lived for a total of 175. So that means that at 3 years of age, Avraham Avinu recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a Rambam. Rambam is in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. He talks about the history of Avodah Zarah. Right? It's a very interesting Rambam. I encourage you to take a look at it this morning. The Rambam says that Avraham Avinu was 40 years of age when he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So obviously the Rambam knew the Gemara Nedarim, and obviously, must have had other sources in terms of when Avraham Avinu arrived at recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam over there writes that Avraham Avinu was 40. There is another girsa of the Rambam. If you look at the look at the commentators of the Rambam over there, there's another girsa of the Rambam that Avraham Avinu was 48. Not 40, but rather 48. Two interesting things about that number 48, which I'll share with you. Number one is that Avraham Avinu was 48. What year was it?
1996.
Well, he was born 1948. So it was very close to approaching the year 2000, meaning since Bria Solem, since the creation of the world. So, right, and that works out a little bit better. It's not perfect, obviously. In other words, it's, you know, 1996 and from Bria Olam. But still, though, it's, in other words, it's very close to the year 2000. And, you know, the Gemara tells us that up until the year 2000, the world was a vast wasteland. And then from the year 2000 to the year 4000, so Kadosh Baruch Hu introduced Torah into this world. So the idea that Avraham Avinu recognized Hashem at the age of 48 is a little bit closer to the year 2000, which really marks the beginning of a new era in terms of world history. Another interesting thing about the year, about the number 48. Again, it's the Gersa we have in the Rambam is 40. But there is another Gersa that says that Avraham was 48 when he recognized Hashem. So one more interesting point is that 48, that seems to be somewhat an arbitrary number, but I'll find a source for this because I heard this, so, and I don't remember who to give credit to. So please forgive me. I'll say it over, but I don't remember to give credit to. So the Torah says by Sarah Imenu that she lived 127 years, and you know the beginning of Parshas Chayisara, the Torah there describes that she was 7 and 20 and 100, and Rashi brings down over there that basically every year that she lived was perfect, complete, meaning from birth to death she was a completed person. She was perfect. She was a perfect person. If Avraham Avinu found God at 48 years of age, so how many years did Avraham Avinu live with a recognition and understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? 127. So in other words, the Sarah's complete years of 127, where she was perfected, also match Avraham Avinu's 127 after he found the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'll find a source for that. I heard it, but it's good. It's interesting. Okay, back to our Gemara. Amar Rami Bar Abba. We are on the very bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We are turning the page. Hasatan bechushbanei klas me'ah vishisin. Hasatan with the hay in the beginning. So the gematria is 364. Klas me'ah vishisin va'arba'ah. It's 364. 364. The Ron brings down. It's a famous Ron. I think it's famous because it's Gemara Yuma. But the Ron brings down that in a solar year that is made up of 365 days. So obviously the idea over here in the Gemara is that there's one day in the year that the Satan does not have shlita. He does not have dominion, and of course that day is Yom Kippur. Amram Ibaram Ksiv Avram Ksiv Avraham. So you notice that Avram went through a name change. He was originally called Avram, and then he goes to Avraham. B'tchila, him licho kadosh baruch hu ma'asayim v'arbim v'shloshei varim. Originally, he had dominion over 243 limbs of his body. That is the gematria of Avram. And then, u'sofim licho and ma'asayim v'arbim u'shmona evarim. And then he had dominion over all 248. So in other words, there were five body parts, five limbs, five extremities that he got dominion over after the name change. Elu hein shtei einayim shnei aznayim v'rosh hagviyah. The two eyes, the two ears, and his male part. So those are the things that he had dominion over. As the Ron over here points out, your eyes and your ears are hard to control. Hard to control what you see, hard to control what you hear. And so we don't have dominion over them. We try, but it's hard. And the Rosh HaGviyah, obviously, that's, you know, the manifestation of the Yetzer Hara. Avram Avinu, after the Bris Milah, and after the name change, and after the pact that he made with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, had shlita, had dominion over those five parts of his body. The most difficult part, to have control over, and that's what he mastered. Amrami bar Amma ma'idichsev ir ketanav anashim. And the Gemara over here quotes Bederech HaDrush a very similar idea. Pasuk in Koheles describes ir ketanav anashim, ir ketanav ze'aguf. The small city is in this metaphor is a reference to the body. Vanashim ba ma'at elo evarim. And the people, the population over here is talking about, is a metaphor to the extremities of the human body. Surrounded by a great king, and the metaphor is a reference to the Yetzara. Ubana ala mitzudim v'charamim. And traps were ensnared. Elo avonos, these are the sins that surround us. Umatzaba ish miskan v'chacham. Now there is a wise old man, the Yetzer Tov, and in this metaphor, that's a reference to the Yetzer Tov. Umilate hu esayir bechachmaso, and was able to save the cities. That tshuva masim tova, a reference to tshuva and good deeds. Va'adam lo zachar seisha miskanahu, and at sometimes we just forget about this old man. Debeshas Yetzer leisemitkar le, Yetzer Tov. When a person is being really influenced by Yetzer Hara, it's hard to even remember that you have a Yetzer Tov. The Gemara continues with this idea. Hachachma ta'uz lechacham me'asar shlitim. Hachachma ta'uz lechacham. The Gemara now dissects this pasuk. So zuchu v'masim tovim. Wisdom in this pasuk. Ta'uz gives strength to the chacham. That's a reference to tshuva masim tovim. Me'asar shlitim. Better than 10 people have dominion. Shtei einayim shtei aznayim shtei yadayim shtei raglayim. V'rosh hagviya. Who are the 10 emissaries, if you will. So the two eyes, the two ears, the two hands, the two feet, and the Rosh HaGvia, and the male organ. Upeh, and the mouth. No, no, oh, I'm sorry, I missed one at the end. Upeh, and the mouth. Period. And from there, once again, the idea is that these extremities obviously are the cause of sin, where our hands go, where we walk, where we see, what we hear, what we speak about, I guess what we eat also, and the male organ. So all these things obviously lead a person to sin. I'm Rabbi Zechariah Mishim Rabbi Shmuel Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Tzikuna Mishem. Shenem Ravu Kohen Lekel Elyon. Originally, who was going to be not only a Kohen, but the progenitors of all Kohanim? Shame. Shame was given that initial assignment. And Kemishaitim Birchas Avraham Birchas Amakam Mehutziah Me'Avraham. However, Shame had a terrible mistake. And as a result of that, Shame lost the zchus of being the progenitor of all the Kohanim. The pasuk says, Shenemar V'yavecher V'yamar Bruch Avraham L'Elyon Kunei Shamayim V'Aretz. Blessed is Avram. So the first thing that Shem does is he thanks Avram. Avram, you did a great job. Again, this is now the treaty after the war. So, and then afterwards, he says, well, thank God. So first he thanked Avram, and then he thanked God. And that order was not good. And Avram called him out. You're not allowed to do that. Don't thank me before thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you thank the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi'ad nasan l'Avraham. And now this zchus of being the progenitors of Kohanim is given over to Avram. She'en ne'amar nu'm Hashem l'adani shev li'imini ad ashis v'yivecha adom l'reglecha. Pasuk in Tehillim. Vastreik Siv. Immediately after that pasuk it says, Nishba Hashem v'lo yinachem atakoen la'olam al dibarti malki tzedek. And the way the Gemara understands this pasuk, al diburu shel Malki Tzedek, because of the way that Malki Tzedek spoke, meaning Malki Tzedek reference to Shem, he was supposed to be the progenitor of the Kohanim, but because of the way he spoke, he certainly did not have enough of an understanding of what it means to be a Kohen. And then finally the Gemara wraps it up by saying, and that's Pshan the pasuk. The pasuk says, and he is a Kohen. What does that mean, he is a Kohen? Hu Kohen ve'ein zaro Kohen. It means that only he is going to be a Kohen, but forever the children are not going to be Kohen. Yeah, in other words, correct. In other words, but Shem was going to be the progenitor for all of his children. And then it gets whittled down to Avram. And then I guess then the question can become, well, Avram's children also didn't become Kohanim. I was thinking about that. Maybe you could suggest, it's just a suggestion, that when we say Kohen, we mean Bechor. And so maybe the right Esav said, you know, I'm not gonna do the Bechor. That's, you know, because it's, you know, you're only gonna die. So I guess the idea, as the Gemara laid it out for Avram Avinu, is that the firstborn is gonna be the Kohen. Maybe that's what the Gemara means. Hajalach Arba Nedarim. That is the end of the fourth parak. Tomorrow morning, Mirzah Hashem, we start the third parak. Tomorrow, Mirzah Hashem, we start the fourth parak of the Masechta.